Well, good morning. Here we are at the mustard tree, the place to come to buy the cheapest and the best treasures in town. It's a great context for us today to think about money and where is my treasure. What a searching challenge to work through these teachings of Jesus to his disciples. The first part in chapter 5 has been about our character. Then in chapter 6, verse 1 to 18, Jesus describes the disciples' private life and devotion in the secret place of giving, praying, and our fasting. But in the second half of chapter 6, Jesus turns the searchlight from these personal devotional aspects of discipleship to our public life and behaviour. In our reading for today, he raises the issue of our treasure.
Our reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And Lord, we ask you to help us to see the truth from your word this morning.
Well, as you look around at all the treasure behind me, where is your treasure? Is the question this morning. The message of Jesus is that every part of life is impacted by the call to follow him. It's not just about the private, so-called religious aspects of giving, praying, or fasting. God is also concerned about our public life, about getting and using money in things like shopping, cooking, driving, working, recreation, retirement, and hobbies, etc. In all these things and others, we are to demonstrate the Lordship of Christ in our culture and in our context. Jesus' challenge here is about our treasure, our money, and our possessions. One writer comments, "There are very few areas where the standards of the world have so invaded the church as in this area." Very few areas where the standards of the world have invaded the church as in regard to our treasure. So don't grip your wallets or purses more tightly this morning. Let's open our hearts to one of the practical and most difficult challenges that we face every day of our lives. The Christian life, of course, is not just doing religious things on Sunday. And then all the material stuff of life, from Monday to Saturday, when we simply just follow the values of the world around us. Jesus brings us one central challenge here as he speaks about two treasures, stores, earth or heaven, and two eye conditions, light-filled vision or black darkness. And two masters, God or money. So first of all, think about the challenge of our treasure in verse 19 to 21. or if you like, what our heart desires. And Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure on earth or treasure in heaven? Jesus asked us to think about the lasting value of our treasure, or what is it that our hearts really desire. As we hear his words, we have to say it's a no-brainer. Treasures on earth do not last. Moths or rats eat them, they wear out, they rust out, they break down. Their value can disappear in a stock market crash or a COVID-19 virus, or someone steals them. In a word, despite all their attraction, they are not really secure, not even in this world. And you can't take them with you when you leave. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. We bring nothing in, we take nothing out. But in stark contrast, treasure stored in heaven is secure, better than the World Bank, because it lasts forever. No rats, no moths, no thieves, no rust, no depreciation, no stock market crash can impact treasure in heaven. It is secure forever. And so, okay, you ask, do I give all my cash and stuff away and camp in a tent in the bush somewhere? Well, no. Jesus is speaking against storing up treasures on earth. When we look at the rest of the Bible for help in applying this, there are at least three things we need to keep in mind. First, the Bible does not say money of itself is evil, but it often does say money is very dangerous. Like seawater, the more you drink it, the thirstier you get. But in actual fact, money in itself is neutral. It's the love of money that is the source of all kinds of evil that can corrupt and consume and wreck our lives. Jesus does not say you cannot have private possessions or property or use legitimate ways to accumulate wealth. But it's how we regard wealth, it's how we regard possessions, it's how we get and use money that determines, is it earthly wealth or treasure in heaven? So tick that box, money is neutral. Second, the Bible tells us saving up to provide for the unexpected future needs is strongly encouraged. Proverbs 6:6 urges, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince, governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for winter. Learn from the ants. Save for the needs that are ahead. So that clearly means daily and recurring expenses, and even in our culture, things like insurance and retirement. For Paul emphasizes to Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So tick that box, saving for future needs. And third, there is the very positive encouragement to enjoy the creation gifts and resources that our Creator gives. Paul tells Timothy, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected when it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." And again, Paul says, God richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. He is not a killjoy or spoil sport, but our generous Creator who wants us to enjoy the blessings and beauty of His creation. And the Bible and prayer can help us here. So tick that, enjoying what God gives. So if these three things, not evil, save, enjoy, are our guide, what is Jesus concerned about? It is this: do not store up for yourselves. Do not develop, in other words, a materialistic lifestyle of extravagant living for the things of this life. What really defines Jesus' followers is not how much money and stuff we have, but are we storing up treasure in heaven? But what actually is this treasure in heaven? Jesus does not explain. One writer helpfully suggests this: it is to do anything on earth, the impact of which lasts for eternity. Do anything on earth, the impact of which lasts for eternity. So what lasts for eternity? John Stott suggests growing a Christ-like character of faith, hope, and love. For what we take to heaven is ourselves. Or growing in the knowledge of Christ, who one day soon we will see face to face. Or the active effort in our daily witness to introduce others to Jesus Christ. Or using our money to support Christian ministries like giving to the church, supporting the LBC Mission Fund and other mission agencies, or in God's love, giving to the poor and to the homeless. These things have lasting activities in the lives of people. They have eternal consequences. They are the best investments that you and I can ever make. So question, if we look at our budgets and our bank statements and our checkbooks, do they reflect this investment policy? Or do we make some adjustments? But you see, the real key here is the heart. For Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart follows our treasure. Jesus spoke about greed many times more than some of the other sins. But if I'm honest, I have a battle with desire, with greed, with covetousness. And I venture to say all of us together do at times. So here is the challenge of treasure. Where is the desire of our heart when it comes to money and possessions? But then secondly, the challenge of our vision in verse 22 and verse 23, or what the mind thinks about. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, the word here implies generous, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, the word here implies stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus turns here from the lasting value of our treasure to the impact of two conditions of our vision or sight. It's the contrast between the blind person and darkness, and a person who sees clearly in the light. You know that most things that we do with our hands and our feet depend on the ability to see. We need to see to wash ourselves, cook food, paint a wall, change a tire, read a Bible, find our way, know the needs around us, play sport, etc. Yes, it's true, blind people do learn many of these things well, but the principle Jesus uses is valid. A person who can see lives in the light, while a blind person lives in darkness. You see, it's all a question of what we see. Do we have a spiritual squint or cataract that clouds our thinking about money? Things like jealousy, prejudice, resentment, and greed are cataracts we need removed by the surgeon of the spirit if we are to have single-minded kingdom-like vision that steers our ambition and our purpose in life. If our vision is blurred and darkened by false gods of materialism and covetousness, we lose kingdom values and we're simply driven basically to get more and more for ourselves. And our God is concerned about justice in our world, or of poverty and homelessness and equality of opportunity for all. So it's the challenge of our vision or sight to see God's truth, which brings kingdom thinking and dispels the darkness of selfish thinking. So the challenge of our vision, and now the challenge of our devotion in verse 24, or what will we choose? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus has explained the two options for storing on earth or in heaven, and two kinds of vision, light or darkness. But behind those is the basic choice between masters, that is, God or money. The word mammon is in some translations is the Aramaic word for wealth. Today, people in part-time work can have two employers, but a slave cannot be the property of two masters or two owners. And God requires the full and exclusive devotion of our hearts simply because He is God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered and died for our sins, is our greatest treasure. To try and divide loyalties is to choose idolatry. So Jesus' final word on the subject of the glorious God and human wealth is very clear. Choose God. Choose Christ as your Saviour, Lord, and greatest possession. Choose the Spirit who leads you into truth and light, because that is the kind of relationship we need to faithfully manage this important part of our disciple of money and possessions. So today Jesus points us to three things to help us to think about our treasure. First, heaven is the place to store our treasure if we want lasting benefit and eternal outcomes. Second, the way to see true value of things is to allow the light of God's truth into our minds and to reject the dark way of seeking things for ourselves. And third, it's all about worth. The worth of serving the glorious God, the majesty and worth of the love of Christ who died that we might live, is our greatest treasure. All this compared to the worthlessness of living in captivity to the desire for wealth and possessions. And friends, we need to be clear, we cannot sit on the fence. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. So the challenge for us this morning is to prayerfully consider the same challenge Joshua gave to the people of Israel when he came to the end of his leadership. He said to them, choose today whom you will serve. That is the challenge that comes to us through the Lord Jesus and his teaching as we think about treasure and money and possessions. So will you pray with me? Lord of my vision, I need no riches or man's empty praise. You are my inheritance through all of my days. All of your treasure to me you impart. High King of heaven, you are the first in my heart. Amen. Now the words of our final song say it all. My worth is not in what I own. I rejoice in my Redeemer, who is my greatest treasure. Let's sing that from our hearts.